We're back. It's a distraction. I'm Drew. That's Roth. How you doing, Roth? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, man. How's it going? What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to my brother-in-law's house. And normally at Thanksgiving time, I get a little bit horny for cooking. I'm if we host Thanksgiving, I'm not grumpy about it. I'm like, ooh, I have control of the turkey. I get to control the turkey. Yeah. And then I get to make my mom's stuffing recipe and all this cool shit. But this year I was like, you know what? It's fine. Someone else wants to handle all that shit.
Yeah.
I got no problem going and fucking carpet bagging and going to someone else's house, eating all their shit and then bailing it.
Are you doing the thing where you make one dish and that, everybody has to be like, it was all so good and I loved Drew's rice.
Right. We have to make an appetizer. So there's no, we're not making a side dish or a dessert, which I think is more pressure. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when it's an appetizer, you can get some fucking mushroom puffs from Trader Joe's or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I was going to say, the one thing is that everybody's trying not to eat too much of it because they know they're about to eat a ton of whatever's coming after.
The number of Trader Joe's mini spanakopitas I've eaten in my lifetime is just utterly obscene and unnecessary.
Oh, yeah. I think it's effectively infinite how many I could eat. I remember Kate's Aunt Karen had us over for the Super Bowl one year. And she had not really had any idea how to host a Super Bowl party. I think she just thought it would be nice to have us over there. So she bought a Trader Joe's pack of pigs in a blanket.
Them. They make a good pig in a blanket.
They're really good.
They're really fucking good, man.
She and I were the only people at this thing. There was her and a couple of her friends. There was eight people there. Two people ate meat. So she and I ate the entire thing, and then I was just thirsty for 3 days.
Yeah, that's what happens with me and hors d'oeuvres. It's no one's oh, well, I don't want any of the salami, which means I eat all of the salami.
Yeah, what are you going to throw the salami out?
Yeah, that's fuck insulting. No.
I'm respect the protein.
I'm one of those guys who gets angry at food waste, as a dad. If my kids don't eat something, there are kids starving in America who would really like to eat that, so...
I had a friend who lives in Astoria, Queens, which is a Greek neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mostly still a Greek neighborhood.
Best Greek food of my life I eat in Astoria.
Amazing place to eat. And every, now and quarterly we get together for lunch. And he's a guy that helped me get started in the business, is a real mentor figure for me. Also, he's very proud of all the really good restaurants that are near him. So he wants to take me to a different place every time. The last time I met him at a spot, he basically did the Greek version of an omakase, which is basically every fish thing they had, they just kept bringing it out. And I brought home, I was sweating. I was fucked up. I was eating more than I should have been eating. And
so a shot glass of 30 different kinds of tzatziki and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. All the little, the little dips and all the stuff we were talking about in terms of impulse control. I can't do that. Mm. If you put fried fish in front of me, I'm going to be I bet I could eat all that. I probably could. Yeah. I wouldn't even feel it. And so I made, I asked at the end, there's, all this, just bones and stuff, just Heathcliff carnage all over the table. And I asked for a to-go thing, and I just sort of, was blacked out off that octopus at the time. So I just, put a bunch of stuff in there, and then the next day I had it for lunch, but it was, as if I had been in the dark. It was, one of those things where there's, cash blowing around in a phone booth, and you have to grab as much of it.
It was commingled.
So yes, so it was shrimp and octopus and just a handful, clearly what had been a handful of olives. I was just going in hard. It was a delicious lunch, but it was definitely that's the mindset that I usually reserve for Thanksgiving, and I was able to somehow unlock it on a regular secular Wednesday.
You do get those people who are very proud of their neighborhood eateries. They're oh, the food here is the best. And I'm not just talking about Parisians or Philadelphians. It's but if people were in a little corner of a city, oh, you gotta eat here and all that stuff. They're very, yeah, very proud of restaurants they don't own.
Yeah. We have definitely some symptoms in that direction, but I think that's when you live in a big city, New York City, I think, is not unique in this regard. It basically resets every 15 blocks. It's like a scrolling background in a Simpsons episode, you know? And so for us, there's places that we love, there's the bakery that we're loyal to and oh, these bagels are great, but those bagels aren't shit. But if we lived 20 blocks south, we would have all of those things. They would just have different names and they'd be just as good. Probably. It's just how it is.
Be like, oh, that's a bagel. Fuck you. I go to Hot and Crusty. And then you move and then you're like, hot and crusty, that's bullshit. I am Mr. Bagel, exactly. All the way, motherfucker.
I'd like to think that my brain would just rewire on the fly like that, because I know that it's been just damaged by being inside my head for all these years. But
I by the way, I am not going to make a thoughtless appetizer. Like, we're going to make a trout dip or something like that. We'll make something. Because, nice. like we have to eat it too. So I'm not gonna, just going to make, like, dog shit. Like,
oh, yeah, I know you weren't. I mean, the thing with the Trader Joe's stuff is that all their heat and eat stuff really is good.
It's good.
Like, it's, like, super good.
Like,
but
the, like, you, the little bird's nests that they have. Like, my kids, yeah. Like, if we bring them home, forget it. Gone. Like,
I love that shit.
In a second.
But I know, especially for us, it's like, we usually get, like, the vegetable cookery assignment. You know, my parents still want to do, like, all the pies and the turkey and all the marquee stuff. My dad is obsessed with the sweet potatoes and getting them, like, to taste exactly like his Aunt Harriet's did 55 years ago or whatever. So every year he's tweaking it and tweaking it.
Is it with the marshmallows on top, or is it different?
He does it. He did at one point. And then he decided that that was, like, that was distracting from his vision or whatever. Like, it's really, I would love to, like,
I think
just
commitment.
Sit down and talk with him for, like, 90 minutes. Like, just do a full psychoanalytic breakdown of what's going on with those potatoes. But we do, you know, we have, like, Brussels sprouts in a salad or something, you know? But it's, like, if you only have one or two things that are going to take you, like, half an hour to do, like, I definitely put my back into it. Because, like, that's, you know, otherwise, what am I doing? Like, I'm just fucking freeloading.
Well, there's also, like, Thanksgiving prior to the meal is kind of a really fucking boring day. Because, like, yeah. The parade is ass. Like, I always, like, yep. I always give the parade a cursory glance for, like, 5 minutes. And then they're like, well, here are the stars of Hamilton singing Bruce Springsteen. And I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. And there's, like, branding shit. And they're like, oh, there's a star of NBC Chicago Dump. And I'm like, I don't need, and then you see the Lions at one, and you're like, you get all hyped up for football, but then it's the Lions. And you're like, well, this was a mistake.
I'm so happy you mentioned that. Cause that to me is like, it's the feeling of being like anticipating the start of a Lions game as if that were normal for a person to feel. Where you're just like, we're 25 minutes away from kickoff at the Pontiac Silverdome. That's cool. Or, like, whatever, you know, that I know it's Ford Field now, but it's, like, all of that, like, that's, like, where you're marking where you are in the day, and then all you've done to that point is get to the Lions game.
And it's weird, because this year's Lions make no sense, because they either lose every game, like, 40-41 in a barn burner,
mm-hmm.
Or they get shut out 24-0, or they beat the Giants.
Beat the brakes off the Giants last week, though. Like, really stuffed Saquon, like no other team has done so far this year. I have no idea what the deal is with the Lions. They're the fun kind of bad. Like, I think there's not that many teams this year that qualify as, like, the fun kind of bad. So, like, I'm sort of riding with them. Like, I want good things to happen with
them. I think they are. They're not a good team. And I don't think that Dan Campbell's a good coach. Like, I think they have the right GM, but the wrong coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, my guess is because of the Lions, they'll keep Campbell for another year. They'll keep him too long. But, like, they have positive energy around them. It's not like watching the Cardinals, who clearly all fucking despise one another.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah.
Like, to, like, where you're, like, you want them to fire Cliff Kingsbury. Not for, like, your own satisfaction, but just for the sake of, like, all parties involved. Like this needs to happen, like, to make everyone there happier. Because they fucking hate him.
It's just, it's a matter of hygiene at this point. Like, it's like if you went into someone's apartment and it was just piles of dirty dishes in the sink. At some point, like, I think that if I had to hang out there for a few hours, I would start washing plates.
Yeah.
And, like, watching the Kingsbury, I mean, I think you got to fire Steve Keim, too, probably. Just, like,
1,000%.
Start, yeah. It's not even a bad roster. It's just that, like you said, it's very, like, whatever, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf on the sideline every fucking day. And we were talking about this at work earlier, that when there's, like, a 5-minute segment of the pregame broadcast, as there was on Monday night, celebrating the steady hand of Colt McCoy.
Yeah, the veteran leadership of Colt McCoy.
At that, like, when you get that segment on your team, and it's like, I'm not by any stretch saying that they're the only team that's had that segment. Like, Colt McCoy has played for half the NFL at this point, and he's always been Colt McCoy.
Right.
It's just that when you are in the Colt McCoy is getting things back on track stage, like, you're fucked. You need to move on.
Yeah. And what's funny is that, like, you know, I was looking at Colt's sort of career last night, And I realized he's been playing in the NFL for 12 years. He's been in there for 12 fucking years. He was a third round pick. And I'm like, if you draft a quarterback in the third round, like anytime my team drafts a quarterback in like the third round or above, but like especially the second or third, I'm like, ooh, that guy could be the future, you know? When really, like really the best case scenario is Colt McCoy's career for a third round quarterback. Yeah. Like maybe like, you get Dak, but you're not really going to get Dak. That's not what's going to happen.
And Colt McCoy is like, he's going to retire with whatever, $40 million in the bank. Like, he's had an amazing,
yeah, man.
Amazing run.
Yeah.
It's just that, and he's also the type of backup. We don't need to do full backup quarterback chat.
I think we actually do. That's
you know I'm into it. Because this is like the time of the year where every going nowhere team is at least floating the possibility of changing quarterbacks. The Jets, who are a playoff team right now, are like hinting at it.
They have to. They
absolutely have
they
to.
They fucking hate their quarterback. Like Garrett Wilson came into the locker room after that loss to the Patriots, and it was like, this is fucked. And he's a rookie. Like, rookies don't say that. And he was right. Like,
there were some throws that Zach Wilson was making, that little, like, sort of anti-highlight reel of him just airmailing a pass in the flat, like, out of bounds. Like, not even, like, an interceptable pass. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Just missing, like, open touchdowns by, like, and, like, it's not like he's missing them because he's under duress. Like, that happens, you know? Like, some guy is bearing down on you, and you have to, like, get the fucking the ball out of there. You know, all the time in the world, guy's, like, wide open down the field, and he's like, I don't see him. Like,
It was the same thing. Honestly, it was kind of weird to see, because I haven't watched them as closely as I've watched the Giants this year, that I usually will, like, watch a Jets game until such time as, like, my wife is like, what are you watching? And I'm like, nothing. And, yeah,
like, there's definitely, I'm masturbating, actually.
But, yeah, it's porn. It's more normal than Jets. But Wilson last year had, he's got a very strong arm, but it's like, he's like a jugs machine. He's not like a quarterback. Like, everything comes out at the same velocity, regardless of who he's throwing it to or where that person is located.
Ooh.
And that is, like, the worst and most useless type of quarterback to me. Like, the idea of just throwing some 97-mile-an-hour heat to, like, the tight end that is turned around 2 yards from the line of scrimmage. Like, at that point, you are assaulting that man. You're not throwing them a football.
Yeah, there was a time when Bill Walsh, after retirement, before his second stint in Stanford, he was a color guy. And he was talking about how vital it was for quarterbacks to have touch. Like, he really hammered it home, and it wasn't about like making sure every ball is catchable, because sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you have to rifle it in between tight coverages and stuff like that. But you need
one of the
quarterback
plays in the sport.
You need a quarterback who has a bag like that. And if Zach Wilson just has one thing in his bag, that's not good. Like, he can run, but he doesn't seem to like running much. He prefer to throw the ball inaccurately than take off down.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it's like, this is one of those things too where it's easy for me to judge it because I can't throw a football 100 miles an hour or 90 miles an hour or
Speak
whatever.
Speak for yourself.
I think if I could, I'd probably be tempted to do it all the time too, because like, that's a pretty sick thing to be able to do.
Yes.
It's like, if I was really good at doing cartwheels, that's how I'd get to the subway.
Yeah. If
but
I could
I'm not
dunk,
gonna do that.
I wouldn't ever take a jump shot. I would never take a jump. If I could dunk, fuck that. I'm driving the hoop.
So Flacco is the successor there.
Is he, or is Mike White the backup?
I think that Flacco is technically the number two. He also played fine in three games. I mean, not
he
well.
Won a miracle game against the Browns, like two touchdowns within like 90 seconds at the end.
He also has more touchdowns in three games than Zach Wilson has in seven or possibly eight.
Oof, that is rough,
which is not what you want.
No,
but yeah, he's probably the least depressing of the backups too. And the Texans obviously are the Texans, but they're just sort of like, we got to give Kyle Allen a look, and it's like, you do not.
Yeah, the Texans are just a lost cause. I think it's like everyone on that team knows. Like, if you're at the part where it's like, you know, the fulcrum of your season is whether or not Brandon Cooks is happy, it's probably not really a season that's going to go well.
Yeah, no, that's a glum one. Do you want to talk about any other football games that happened last
week? Well, I want to talk about football.
Oh, you want to talk? Oh, you want to see what's coming out?
I mean, look, I can talk about my team's beat down, but they got their asses kicked, and it happens. So whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just we're recording this the morning that I woke up and I saw on my Twitter feed Paul Papps. He's a producer for Dan Patrick, and he'll tweet what he calls snug alerts. Like, if a game's close, he'll just say like, "Oh, snug," like Saudi Arabia and Argentina snug alert on on FS1, and it's like a genuinely useful service. Like that's how I end up like channel surfing, is thanks to Paul Papp's Twitter feed. So I'm like, oh, okay, well I'll turn that on right now. And I turn it on, and it's in the 70th minute, and Saudi Arabia is leading 2-1, and they hung on and they won. And not only did they win, they fucking earned the shit out of it. They choked the shit out of Argentina.
I'll give you a peek into my lifestyle. Every second of what you just described happened long before I woke up. But that said, I read Luis's Gamer on it, and it sounded like Saudi Arabia kind of just locked them up and beat their asses. Like, they had them in hell the entire game, which is really impressive.
It was so cool to watch, and it was cool enough where I wasn't like, oh, I'm so happy for the neighboring dictatorship. Like, I got to forget for a moment that Saudi Arabia was Saudi Arabia, like live golf and all that didn't enter in my head. I was just like, oh, beat those fucking evil Argentines, you good guys from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's the magic of the World Cup right there, is that you're kind of like, yo, I'm a big Saudi guy. Like, I don't know, I love the spunk. And it's like, nah, you don't. This is a very different sort of, but you can get into that fan part of your brain. I think they were also, by pretty wide consensus, the shittiest team in this tournament. Like, Qatar was supposed to be way better than Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and Qatar sucked. They were bad. Dog-walked.
Yeah, and will not win a game. But yeah, I mean, I'm back in the, you know, sort of soccer watching part of my brain. I know you've like watched enough games that you can kind of understand what's happening. I just like am 100% vibes on it. And so like I'm aware of how a game feels or doesn't feel. That was exactly how I watched a U.S. game, where I was kind of like, but it was not with enough context. So I just spent, you know, whatever, the U.S. game, 55 minutes being like, I think they could win the World Cup. I don't see any reason why not.
Oh, I spent I spent the first half of that game being like, Wales are chumps. Like, we're fucking so much better than them. We're going to win this game 3-0. And that is absolutely not what happened.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, it's funny, though. Like, after having, you know, so much of my experience of the U.S. men's national team has been like reading about them on our website, seeing people complain about them on Twitter during their games, like, I don't know, you know, what to compare them to. They are very easy to cheer for me. Like, they seemed fun. Like, they weren't executing as well as you might have liked. But the good players are good.
I think the one thing that helps knowing, like, soccer freaks like Luis and Billy Hazley and, like, whoever I follow on Twitter is that, like, their complaints will help shape my view of the team in an accurate way. So if they're like, wow, this is like real MLS shit that the coach is doing, I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. Because I believe them 100%. And like the second you say the word MLS and I'm looking at American players, I start thinking of them as an MLS team, and that's never good.
Yeah, that was the complaint that I saw everybody. There was like it's nice that the U.S. is good enough at this point that people are mad at them for substituting one guy instead of the other. Like they have two guys that they could substitute. Whereas like in the past, it was like once you get past the one or two guys on the bench that you don't know, it's just like some build a player guy who's got like real UVA looks. Yeah. Where in this case it was they put in an MLS guy and people were like, unbelievable. Cause they think, cause he's in the MLS, like he's going to score them a goal because they don't know. They don't know that the San Jose Earthquakes or whatever are actually bad, which I mean, I get it to a certain extent. I think the idea that even, the U.S. men's national team takes MLS seriously is probably a stretch.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think it was more that watching Saudi Arabia beat Argentina this morning was a really good illustration for me, someone who watches soccer, but not like religiously, not like in the way that I like understand. I don't understand it the way I understand American football, right? Mm-hmm. But you could tell watching that Saudi Arabia game how well that team was coached, like really impeccably coached.
Yeah.
And the U.S. team is not. Like, I think that is fair to say. The other thing was that it was very funny to me because our coach, Berhalter, he had on a shirt that said States. Like, it just said States. And I was wondering, States. I was like, did Qatar, forbid us from putting United on there? Like because they didn't like want you to wear pink armbands and shit like that?
Right. I was going to say, is that, like, somehow scan as, like, a pro-LGBT to them?
Yeah. They're like, whoa. United? We don't.
T-shirt was really funny.
We like States. We don't like, yeah, the like, banning of the...
All states are good.
Yeah. All states matter. What's really
right? It had that feeling of like the City Connect jerseys in the NBA, where it's like Milwaukee has to play with the word Cream City on their chest a few times a year. Which, like, the idea of the United States having to be like, yeah, like, well, I don't know, what are the good nicknames that people have for the United States? Like, some like Adidas branded thing that says like the Great Satan and the Vice City font on it or whatever. Is really...
Like, at least you could have said the states, because people say for shorthand. But just said,
instead of just like leaving it up to your imagination. It had a real like that image of Rob Lowe at a football game where he's just wearing a hat with the NFL logo on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Sort of feel.
Or I remember I was watching an NFL game earlier this season, and there was a long ad for a clothing brand called Molecule, and like it was all just shirts and pants and like focusing on like the brand logo that said Molecule on it. And then like 30 seconds into the ad, I was like, hey, wait a second, did I just see Marky Mark like wearing one of those shirts? And sure as fuck, it's Marky Mark's clothing brand. And so I was treated to
fantastic.
I was treated to like yet another brand that just like said, like, we're gonna have like a word, and that's gonna be our word, and that'll be the energy that we have.
And Molecule is like, it's not that it doesn't work. It's just that when you find out that it's attached to Marky Mark, you're sort of like, of what?
Yeah.
Like, is this a Catholic thing?
Yeah.
What are you trying to sell me right now?
It's like, I like the Vuori pants. I'm wearing those right now. But if I found out that those were like founded by like Stephen Baldwin, I'd have an issue. I'd have an issue. By the way, speaking of the World Cup, Fox has already said that they're going to stick to sports. They have no interest in covering Qatar's human rights abuses the way that like Telemundo has, like they've done it extensively. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you how much you think that will help the Qataris escape scrutiny here during this cup, which they apparently don't care whether or not they get. But with the games underway and with the game I just watched, it seems as if like it's not as if this tournament is going to not happen. Like, it's going to happen, and everyone's going to take the results as valid. And essentially, I think that means that whatever Fox is doing, they're going to get away with, much in the way that Qatar will get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the gamble all along, right? Like, when you bid on stuff like this, it's the same. I mean, it's not really that different than, like, Russia bidding on the last one. Like, they know they're doing a lot of bad shit. But it's like, if you pay bribes to the right sort of people, this was the play, I think, all along for Qatar as, like, a soft power thing that, like, they wanted to be thought of as the country where the World Cup happened. I thought that they would be a little less hardcore about the stuff that they've been hardcore about. Like, I assumed that they would just be like, yeah, whatever, like, drink beer for 2 weeks and then get the fuck out. Like, and that would have done a lot of work for them. As it is, it does seem like once the games start, the games are the story. That's always going to be how it is.
Yes.
And so the idea that they could push their luck as much as they've pushed it, which is like really sort of surprising, like detaining Grant Wall, like sort of going back on a lot of the original sort of pledges that, I mean, everybody knows the bribes are why the World Cup is in Qatar.
Of course.
But so I was there like almost 10 years ago, and I saw the video, and I encountered the entire promotional apparatus that they showed to FIFA. And the video was like, they spent a lot of money on it, and they did a good job on it. There's a lot of stuff in there that was bullshit. They said that they were going to air condition the outdoor stadiums, which is kind of like...
Yeah, the hover air conditioner. I remember that.
Yeah, terrific stuff. It's like air conditioning on a motorcycle. Like, great work. And they, you know, obviously they didn't do that. They didn't do a lot of the stuff. But the general pitch was very like Obama era. Like, we want to enter the community of nations in good faith and, you know, be your neighbors and your friends. And that isn't the pitch anymore. Like, at this point, the thing you do is you just fucking stun on people. You flex like Saudi Arabia does, which is what they're doing now. That, like, they got in the door saying one thing, and now they are showing their lack of commitment to it. And it's like, it's still not going to make anybody fucking stop watching that wants to watch, because it's the World Cup. You only get it every 4 years,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I was that star for it. The other thing that I found funny was that, and you, if you saw the news, if you're listening, you probably saw the... or at least heard about the disastrous press conference that FIFA president Gianni Infantino had, where he was like, today I am black, today I am gay, today I am disabled, and like said all like the absolute best tone deaf FIFA shit. But then he also made the sort of, you know, oh, horrifying, the world's worst person, you know, has a good point, where he said, He said, you know, I think that what we Europeans have been doing for the last 3,000 years around the world, we should be apologizing for the next 3,000 years before starting to give moral lessons, he said. And look, there's a grain of truth to that. But also, as a Westerner, I was like, no, no, no. They're still the bad guys, asshole. Don't try to hide from that.
Yeah, that's been, like, a really interesting part of the... Because it's funny, like, you're absolutely right that, like, the part of it where he was doing the Andrew Cuomo thing where he gets up there and he's like, I'm gay. Not really, of course. Like, I'm Andrew Cuomo. But, like, that is, like, one of the most cynical plays in all of politics. And Johnny Infantino is not, like, he lacks the pizzazz and sparkle of Andrew Cuomo in a golf shirt. Like, he really is just, he's a zero.
Yeah.
But so much of the discourse around this has been, like, the point about Europeans, 100% unassailably correct. Ditto for, I think, a lot of the, and there's been, even in American news media, some of this pushback where it's like, a lot of this probably is, a lot of the sort of really strident anti-Qatar stuff probably is coming from bigotry against the Arab world and against Islam. That, like, and I think that's probably true, too. I don't think that it necessarily means that you throw out the stuff that is also demonstrably true, which is that the human rights abuses were fucking monstrous and that the country has been utterly cynical at every turn.
Yes.
That, like, I mean, so is everyone else, but it has that kind of, like Trumpy what about thing where it's like, yeah, you know, like we talk about Russians, it's like, well, what about us? We do bad things too. And it's like, yeah, man, but that doesn't, like,
that doesn't excuse,
that doesn't, like, take us back to zero and end the conversation.
Yeah,
because, you know?
I'll be like, yeah, but at least we're nice about it when we organize coups right. in Latin American countries. At least we say we like freedom. We don't just go
right.
being
we like pretend that we're doing it for a good reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. Or like at least we made money off of it and we spent it on cool shit. You guys don't even drink. Boo.
Well, that's the thing that's funniest about FIFA in general is that they are like the international institution that sort of plasters that element over it, where, like, every country that buys a World Cup is like, we did it. We turned our, like, oil money and theft into a bunch of soccer games and stadiums. And then, like, FIFA just, like, barges in and is like, actually, this is about the brotherhood of man.
Yeah.
Like, whatever he just said, like, forget about that, which is, you know,
it's,
somebody's got to do
it's
it.
It's the World Cup movement. It's not just merely games. Hey, let's take a break, and we're going to come back with an accomplice. We have an accomplice this week for Thanksgiving. So we'll be right back with our special accomplice guest. We'll be right back. And we're back. We're back with Roth and then also with our accomplice, Noah. How you doing, Noah?
I'm good. I'm glad to be on, guys.
Where are you calling us from, Noah?
I am calling from San Diego.
Ooh.
Nice. Are very well represented metropolitan area here on the podcast.
Are you a normal?
Yeah, Justin Halpern is San Diego's ambassador to the distraction.
Yes, podcast. Everything I know about San Diego, I know from going to Comic-Con like two times and from Justin Halpern telling me stories about drunken military bros getting in fights at bars and shit like that.
Yep. All right, that checks out.
Okay. Brilliant. hey Noah, you remember a guy with us?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to remember a guy, and it's more in Ross territory, but I'm going to give you the chance to remember him first. Our guy of the week is Dave Brown. You remember that guy, Noah?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you must be a Yoda.
I envy you.
All right.
What a treat it would be to not remember Dave Brown.
Roth, give him the full dossier on Dave Brown.
Yeah, please.
So before there was a Daniel Jones, there was a Dave Brown. The Giants really love drafting guys from Duke with haircuts that you could set your pocket watch by. Dave Brown was very much that. He was like,
you could set your pocket watch by it. You could light your tiki torch to it.
Yep. Whatever it takes. You're not going to replace them. They make it very clear. So Dave Brown.
They will
was,
not be replaced. I got it. Yeah.
No. So Brown was the guy that they brought in. This was like after Phil Sims and after Jeff Hostetler, they were sort of, it was a very similar scenario to the Daniel Jones thing, too, because it was like he was a productive college quarterback. Only the Giants looked at him and were like, this man will be president of the United States after he leads us to two Super Bowls. And he had one good season with Dan Reeves, and then they just kind of kept him around. And by which I mean good season, it was like some real early 90s shit. We looked it up while we were waiting for you to join us, Noah. So his best season it was like 12 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
Oh, that's so fucking powerful. Just
like, wow.
But just like real grunty 90s. Like his job was to hand the ball to Rodney Hampton and then like congratulate him after he gained 5 yards. Like that was, and he was all right at that for a while. But yeah, that was the whole Dave Brown experience. He really sort of set the tone for the organizational culture going forward, give or take the wild years with Eli, where everybody was actually, Eli has a similar vibe to Dave Brown. He was just better at being a quarterback.
Are you a lapsed Chargers fan, Noah? Do you want to like remember Craig Wheelahan while we have you on or anything like that?
Wait, real quick. I just Googled this while you were talking, and it's like, in addition to being a spectacular NFL quarterback, Dave Brown goes on to work at Lehman Bros.
Of course. Yes,
absolutely.
And I assume threw just as many interceptions there.
Yeah.
I mean, what's great too is that like, so he's there, like every Giants fan of that era associates him with like the bad times. And then he goes to like a bank that is like more or less consecutively, because his career ends in the 90s. Like by the time you get into like the mid aughts, like he's associated with two of the most widely loathed brands in the tri-state area. You have to tip your cap.
I like that. Yeah, maybe he was a ringer on the Banks flag football team, but then everyone was like, oh, we're going to win now that we have Dave Brown. And then they lose to like payroll by like 21-0 or something like that. Like,
yeah, he's more of a game manager, it turns out.
Hey, Noah, we have a fun bag question for you. It's from Yusuke. He said, who came up with the packaging design for bacon? And could I speak to their manager? You got beef. No pun intended, with the packaging design for bacon, Noah?
You know, I assume the packaging design for bacon is to prevent listeria.
Which is important.
Which is important. And I actually recently, you know, in the spirit of podcasts, I listened to a podcast about the Bluebell listeria cover-up, which is actually pretty interesting, where Greg Abbott helps Bluebell Creamery cover up listeria, and it was reignited with the Bluebell ice cream licking TikTok challenge. Because
get
Bluebell
the fuck out of here.
And so they're trying to run from these criminal charges, and it gets reignited by that because Bluebell is one of the only creameries that doesn't have a tear off piece of plastic under their lid. And so
that's what that is for?
That's what that's for. It's to prevent people from tampering with the product.
I had no idea. I thought that was like for appetite appeal. Like, voila, ice cream. Yeah.
like whipping a dome off something in a French restaurant.
Yeah. But you didn't see that coming inside this Breyers.
Yeah.
I do the thing. I lick that paper. I'm like, oh, just I can't waste half a cent on the vanilla ice cream. Yeah, like the same with like a yogurt foil lid. I'm like,
yogurt, it's even more egregious because the whole thing's like 1.5 ounces. You're like, this is like $2.50.
And it's all crusted. It's crusted over. It looks like the skin of a fucking 80-year-old that has like cracks in it and shit like that.
That is funny with the yogurt thing, though, where it's like the value's all in the foil at that point. Like most of what you're getting is like just kind of runoff incidental.
You have to pack up your mail truck full of the yogurt things, drive it to Michigan to get your value back.
Yeah, it is a problem with bacon, though, because bacon is vacuum packed, obviously, to prevent airborne diseases, but also it's packed as cheaply as possible. That, like, 90% of the reason why things are packaged the way they are, and I know this because I worked on the Hershey account when Kit Kat went from being in foil and like a little sleeve to being just a shitty plastic wrapper that everyone fucking hated. It was all to save like a cent a wrapper. That was it. So bacon is sort of the same thing, and there is no way for me to cook bacon without getting bacon juice like everywhere. Like it's like when you go to the supermarket and you buy a package of chicken, but that package of chicken is leaked, and so you have chicken juice on your hands, but have no recourse for getting rid of it. Like it's that kind of situation. Don't really care.
Yeah, when you're trying to make chicken hot dish, I assume, or whatever it is, Vikings fans.
Thank you
with
for
the
that.
Upper Midwestern delicacies.
I like.
Or maybe you're
like
chicken bars, I guess.
I think I was with,
like, if you've seen how Kirk Cousins cooks steak, that's how everybody cooks chicken.
I
on a piece of tinfoil on a cold grill.
I Roth was with me when we went to Minnesota, and someone asked me about hot dish like as like a live audience question, and the truth was that because my parents were not from Minnesota, they were from Chicago, and we only lived there for a few years, so I never really knew what the fuck hot dish was. And so they're like, what's your favorite hot dish topping? And I was like, I don't know, potato chips. And everyone booed, literally fucking booed me.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, the right answer is tater tots. And I didn't know what the fuck.
Weren't you wearing, like, you were wearing a Vikings jersey
at the time. I have zero doubt I was wearing a Vikings jersey.
Pandering hard. Like, you're there in, like, a Pat Williams jersey. And they're like, this man is an asshole. No, he's a fake.
Trust me, when I wear the Vikings jersey, I'm pandering to myself and myself alone. I promise you. Brian writes in, last question, Noah. One very late, very drunk night, In an East Atlanta bar bathroom, I came across the following graffiti intended for the community to complete. What is the best name for a kitten? Number one was Officer Friskers. Number two was Jugfucker. The other eight slots were not occupied. And so Brian was asking what the best graffiti we've ever seen is. But really, I just want to fill out the rest of that list with the best possible kitten names. Noah, which way would you like to answer the question?
It's easy.
Okay.
Chode Rogan.
Chode Rogan.
Chode Rogan.
How am I gonna get
it? Now, you saw that, or you're naming a cat that? Because both are fine.
I'm naming a cat that. I've also had like a thing in the back of my mind. I actually own ChodeRogan.com. I haven't done anything with it, but you know, one day the whole goal is for me to get a cease and desist letter from Joe Rogan, where he says for me to stop using his likeness as a chode. And so that's why you have to play these kind of long jokes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you're cyber squatting with a moral purpose. I think that's great.
Yep. I think with cats, there's a lot more, because you're not really going to, they're not going to leave your house. Not that many people are going to learn the name of your cat. But if you have a dog and you're walking it, at some point you're going to have to be like, hey, you know, whatever, Patches, like, stop shitting there or lying in the middle of the sidewalk or whatever. Whereas a cat, you can kind of just do whatever you want. And I remember my sister, I think, or it was a friend, had a story about a person whose name was like Danny, and he had named his cat like Baby Danny, and he had to take it to the vet.
What?
And
Daniel Jr.
So at the vet, where they, like, which I know because I've had to take my turtles there, they'll call the name of the pet. They don't call you.
Right.
Which is kind of cute, like the idea of like the animal is going to perk up. But this person had to be like, Baby Danny? And he had to be like, yeah, I'm Danny. I'm Red. This is my cat, Baby.
I'm the father.
Right, yes.
That's like when people tell me they have fur children, and I can't tell whether they're saying it as a joke or like they're really earnest and like they think of their pets as fur children. And I can't ask them which, because then they'll like punch me in the fucking dick. So I don't.
Are you having a laugh? Yeah, I don't.
I don't do that. But what I do want to say is happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, Roth. Happy Thanksgiving, Noah.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Noah, thank you for joining us, man.
Yeah, Brandon Nix and Chantel Holder are our producers. Nora Ritchie is our executive producer. Our theme song is by Kirk Hamilton. You can listen to ad-free episodes of The Distraction only on Stitcher Premium, thanks to Roth and me. And Noah, you can get a free month of Stitcher Premium right now. Just go to StitcherPremium.com, use the promo code DISTRACT. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever it is that you listen. And go subscribe to Defector.com too, and to ChodeRogan.com while you're at it. And thank you, Roth, and thank you, Noah, for coming on the show. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.